This is CliffCentral.com.
Sorry, was the microphone on? I didn't even realize. That funny noise, I wondered where that came from. It wasn't me.
Did you sit on an iron plate?
Yeah.
It's been left outside?
I wish. I mean, an iron plate. You mean if it was hot? I mean, if it was freezing cold like that, I would have got for the whole show. Can you imagine? Jesus, it's cold suddenly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
You do love the winter over the summer, don't you?
Winter is set at the exact same temperature as my heart.
Okay.
Cold.
As a witch's titty.
Cold.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, it is chilly today because yesterday it rained pretty much the whole day in Johannesburg. And when there was traffic, I came back in the afternoon. I had a couple of meetings to do in the afternoon. And I was stuck in some, just horrible, messy traffic. And, you know, people, first of all, the cold has got everybody a little bit befuddled. And then you've got this extra wet, which doesn't happen in Johannesburg in the winter. It really doesn't. So it's got everybody confused. And traffic was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Happens from time to time, I suppose.
But we don't have a bus or train strike, do we?
Don't think so at the moment.
Because that's kind of what's making Cape Town a massive joke at the moment. Apart from like acting mayors and everyone hates Patricia, all that kind of stuff. They've got some serious issues down there.
Yeah, well, you see, this is where you need a mayor. You need a mayor who can step in and take charge.
This was happening before I think Patricia was getting ousted.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, you know, when you're a mayor and you're under siege like she was, you kind of let things go to shit so you can show people how they need you.
On all for what, Moosey? For what?
For what, Moosey, yeah. And the rest of the DA.
A whole lot of them.
Ah, rotten. Anyway, so listen. The little icicle thing came up on the dashboard today.
Yeah,
so
there we go.
That's how you know it's winter. When that thing arrives, then I know, shit, it's over. So now it's heaters and electric blankets
Yes. We're one day closer to spring.
Yeah, that's true.
Spring's actually the best month.
So
much excitement.
September, October, November, my favorite time of the year, hands down.
And you thaw out from these shitty months. It's great.
And you know what? You think about it. We really have a very, very good short winter we're in South Africa. We don't have a horrible winter. It's really, you know, we complain about it, but my God, we don't have to have the snow and the ice that other countries have.
Canada.
Jesus. You know that they live underground in Toronto for some of the year? They've got malls that are underground.
They have to be, yeah.
Like you don't see the sun because the sun is only there for a couple of hours a day. I mean, at least you get the sun. Yeah, it might not be the hottest. It might not be burning brightly like it does in summer. It might not be pleasant to go outside. You could just put on extra layers. In Europe and in North America and in Asia, man. That winter is so goddamned evil. It gets into your bones. There's snow everywhere. It's grimy.
Yeah, so people actually do kind of lose their minds when there is a day they can go out and expose their skin to the earth.
Right.
But also, it's not a very great sight, so you've got
horrific.
Quite low morale.
Listen, I don't like, as white people, as a white person, I get very self-conscious about how pale I am. In the depths of winter. That bothers me. But I've heard that those tanning beds are a very bad idea. I did that once or twice a couple of years ago. And it's just, I get so bored. You can't stand in those things. And, you know, it's 10 minutes, but I get so bored.
Oh, I was just going to ask, how long do you fry yourself in
there? No, 10 minutes. But you see, like, I just wish I had a really nice, natural sort of brownish color to my skin. It would... I'm not pale like a
Canadian,
or those people. You know that those people who, those white people, literally see the inside of their arm, and you think, Jesus, it's a vampire.
Wow.
I'm not like that, but I would like to have a little bit of color, you know.
Well, I don't think your DNA would suggest that, Gareth, because no one in your ancestry has ever served cocktails on the beach.
No, none of my ancestors were ever. Yeah, they were never really outside.
So very
much.
You were never given that chance to get that lovely amber sort of glow.
Well, I'd like it. Yeah, you know, I mean, if I think about it, my ability to if I get into the sun a little bit to hold a bit of color is good. I'm slowly becoming African. It'll take another 2,000 years, but I'll get there. I'm getting there. I'm very proud of that. That's an achievement for me.
Don't you go red when you're in the sun?
If I'm stupid.
What does that mean?
If I go and I like lie in the sun for an hour, yes.
He doesn't use protection.
Then I'll come out looking like a lobster. If I put on a little bit of, and we should all, black and white people.
Black people and white people, this is a warning.
And the Indians and coloreds.
And the Indians and the coloreds.
They always get left out.
We never leave you out.
You've got to put on this SPF stuff because you
get the skin cancer.
You know what, Ben? Like, we don't have all morning.
The Asians, though, definitely. And
this thing, are my batteries flat in this thing?
I have been in here for like a couple of months now. And I hardly use this anymore. I used to use it all the time to just summon the, I used to call management down with this thing. It's a loud hailer.
That takes the most amount of batteries ever.
That's why it should still work. Anyway, yeah, so you've got to put on this SPF because you get the skin cancer, right? No matter who you are.
Yeah.
But I do if I'm careful. And if I give it a couple of minutes, you just toast yourself a little bit. It's like getting in the toaster and not burning the bread. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it. That I like. Then I look good in the summer. Got a bit of color on me. Anyway, I mean, you know, you gotta have something healthy going on. I don't believe in burning yourself to a crisp like Tan Mom, but you should have some color. You think that's funny, Sia, that I might look like Tan Mom if I stayed in the sun too long?
Well, she shouldn't be the role model for anyone.
Oh, so the big royal wedding's happening this weekend. How exciting.
Is it on Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you haven't booked it out on your calendar yet?
No.
Okay.
Is there a special hashtag or is it just straight up royal wedding?
Ooh.
I think it's not like Harry Slums it official.
I don't think they're going to... None of them care about a hashtag, do they?
Well, the fans do, clearly.
Yeah, if there is a hashtag, it's going to be started by people watching.
I think it'll be a royal wedding, but it needs to be something more creative, like Ginga Gets Hitched or something.
Guys.
Listen.
Megan Strikes Gold.
Megan Strikes Gold is a good one. Megan Strikes Ginger.
You guys are so
horrible. So I'm thinking of growing a little beard. I think I'm
yes,
thinking of...
finally, go for it.
Just because it's the winter and I don't care if I look like a caveman. I don't think I'm going to get like some major big bushy beard going, but I'm going to...
So if you start now, basically next winter you'll see it.
Ah, maybe. I grow very slow facial hair, which is great. I mean, I could shave every 3 days and I'll be fine.
Why are you such an advocate for it, Ben?
Well, why not? It's good for Gareth to do new things. You can't just sit here every single day and be the same person.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yesterday we were talking about your personality being open to things. So, okay.
Yeah, there we go. So that's what I'm going to do.
I gone.
You think it's going to be horrible?
Wait, I need to imagine. It's going to be horrible, isn't it?
I think all three of us should grow beards. And then Mubs, after a certain time period, let's do this. Let's go clean shaven from tomorrow. And then Mubs can, like, judge in 3 weeks' time who's got the better beard.
I think I need a little... bit of a start.
Okay, you can have your hair style like that. So,
I can't grow a full thick beard.
This is what makes it so hilarious.
It's very patchy. And B, I've actually booked an appointment with Skin Sense down the road.
Why are you laughing? I just love how now everybody
has an excuse. After Ben suggested you quickly have an excuse, Gareth quickly has an excuse.
I don't have any. I'm going to do it. I just need it 2 days ahead.
No, I'm getting permanent hair removal.
Permanent hair removal?
Yeah.
Op your gezicht.
Yeah, I hate shaving. And also the fact that it just... Facial hair doesn't look good on me.
Where do you sell dick on? Where's all the money coming from? Permanent hair removal? That's like...
Is it expensive?
That's an arm and both your legs, is it not?
I know, got hooked up by my friends at Skin Sense. That's all I'm saying.
Because you know what? Hair needs to be removed from your face.
It's just my cheeks and my chin.
How long is the procedure? I mean,
I'll tell you about the procedure when I come back from it.
Are you leaving us for a few months?
No, I think it should just be like a 2-hour thing.
How? I'm fascinated
once
by this.
Again.
Do they laser you?
It's a process called IPL, and it involves some sort of laser, because there are two procedures that you could take. God. There's laser, which just stunts hair growth for a couple of months, and then there's this other form where it's basically like this pin that goes into each strand
and pulls it out.
Pulls it out and zaps.
But that's
the
just
skin.
My point. Each strand, you know how many strands you
that's,
have.
That A takes longer and B is more painful, I was told. So rather let me stick to laser and that a couple of months.
So here's the plan. Let's have a going away beard competition. This is the last time in your life you'll grow a beard. Come on, Sia, do it for
all right, just try it for as long as until your treatment starts.
When is
your treatment,
does it start?
In a couple of days.
Okay. Let's see.
And my going away
you know what,
thing
Ben?
Would be
we'll find
months.
There's bound to be a bearded woman here somewhere. We can peek.
Yeah, I guess. Just look under the cushions over there.
There's got to be.
What are we running against?
Don't we have a show here? We've got shows for everything. Don't we have a show for bearded women? Mubs, do you know of any? It's got to be a bearded woman. Let's take her on, Ben. You look, and me versus the bearded woman.
Like there are those women with peach fuzz on their...
And there's nothing you can
aren't
do
you
about it.
Are you ever distracted by them?
No, I'm distracted by you having this laser surgery. That's what's distracting me right now.
All right. A few things we've got to get into this morning. First of all, Ben posted a picture of Mick Jagger. I mean, it just is... He says that Imran Khan has really started to age, because you're talking about Imran Khan, the Pakistan coach.
Ireland are playing Pakistan at the moment, and he's there watching. Mick Jagger is.
But Mick Jagger is, I mean, finally, you know what, because we often stand up for older people here on the show. We've said there are many old people who keep their vitality going for a long time. They've got this energy, this dynamism. Certainly Mick has not stopped moving on the stage, which is very much a plus. And he's got kids. He's in his 70s. Might even be in his 80s by now. But Mick has finally started to look really fucking old.
Oh, even with his slim frame and...
I mean, really. Talk about peach fuzz. He looks like one of those peaches that's been left in the sun for 3 years. Really? Come on.
He's 74.
Now, okay, don't get me wrong. I mean, I respect Mick Jagger. The guy's still got... this incredible life. He tours the world. He's a rock star. By the way, he does love cricket.
Oh.
Loves cricket. And as far as I know, he still plays a little bit. But Mick has finally just crossed that borderline into being a really old man. And it happened very suddenly. It's because I've been following Mick Jagger for all my life. Never thought of him as one of those old, terrible people. Not terrible, but he's finally got old.
Is he still making new music?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think when he gets up in the morning, the creaks in his bones make quite a sort of rhythm.
Oh, jeez. Do you think he colors his hair?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Listen, after a certain age, I've got a friend. This friend of mine, Greg, he had very dark sort of... Mediterranean looking hair. He's what, 35 maybe? Maybe in his early 30s still? He's gone, like, he's got gray streaks all over the place. He's in his 30s.
Does his hair color tend to look dull now?
No, it looks silvery. Okay. It's a good look. It's not a bad look, but he's, you know, he's gone like gray, and it's a thing that happens to some guys. Some guys go bald. Mick Jagger, there's no way that hair is still lustrous and dark like that. He has it colored.
I think, you know, if he just recolored it and did his teeth, he'd be fine.
Did his teeth? What do you mean, like straighten them out?
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit old. He's a bit past, like, I don't think his jaw could handle him doing his teeth now. They'd all fall out. No. There comes a point where self-improvement is a thing of the past. Come on. You know?
Oh, what the joys of aging when you can't even do anything to yourself.
All right, if you could do any... three things to improve your appearance. Three magical miracle things. It wouldn't cost you anything. Like you're going for this hair removal thing. I'm curious. Like what would the three things be that you would do? If I could give you a silver tray right now with three envelopes on them and they would be the treatments that maybe even medical science hasn't been able to do yet, but it's your fantasy things. Just purely to improve your very superficial appearance. That's all. What would they be? I know you've already thought of this, Sia.
Yeah.
Number one
it's
would be...
so sad. Firstly, it would be to be able to gain weight on my upper body.
Okay. You want to have a, like, you want to have You want to have titties.
You want to have pecs, bro. Well,
yeah, pecs, bro. And the shoulders and the biceps.
In the very slim moments when I do, excuse the pun, in the slim moments when I do tend to gain any sort of weight, always in my lower body.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
I gain weight like a woman. It's like Roger. Weird. So,
just
no.
Just like Roger.
Just like Roger.
Roger from American Dad.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
So have you seen what Roger's shape is?
That's here in 20 years.
You guys show me images of Roger at least once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so years mean, of, years of Cocoa Pops are about to go south of the south of the border.
And then I'm convinced one day modern science will be able to figure this out. But for now, I'd like to get hand and neck improvement.
Oh, yeah?
Because that, no matter what you do, you can always tell someone's age by their hands and their neck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. So hands, neck, and...
gaining weight and in my upper body.
All right. That's an interesting selection. Ben, have you got a couple of those?
I don't know, guys. Like, I know that I'm never going to be much of an oil painting as I get older, so I'm just happy with being kind of healthy and I can keep improving.
Like, your dad looks really good.
Yeah, I guess.
If you're going to head towards where he is, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but I've got, like, I've got sort of different sort of genetic makeup, and I'm quite slender, so I think I'll show age more. I just want to be able to keep hair. That's all.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So that would be one. So maybe you'd get, like, the Jacques Cullis treatment.
Yeah, and after years of laughing, I mean, I've got a lot of laugh lines. Yeah, people call me a curmudgeonly old git, but, I mean, I'm always smiling. My laugh lines are...
Yeah, they're not so bad.
No, they're horrendous when I'm laughing.
Oh, I can take your dance.
What would you do, Mubs?
Immediate liposuction all over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, something to deal with the wrinkles.
Those are fairly standard. I mean, like, there's not a girl in the world who wouldn't go for the lipo so that they could, you know, especially in, like, the back of the legs and that kind of thing.
Well, for me, it would be everywhere.
Everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
You'd just come out of there just looking like a raisin.
Every single bit of adipose tissue that's in my body must go. It must go.
Then you would look like Whitney before the end.
I don't care. It must go.
Okay.
It must go.
She's going to be mercenary about it. And then the wrinkles.
But yeah, anti wrinkle treatments. I mean, they don't really do anything.
You
for
don't
us.
Have any wrinkles.
Yes, but if I could, like, not ever get them ever, that would be great.
Oh,
because I was gonna say, like, out of everybody here, Sia's got more wrinkles than you do.
Whoa!
No, it's true.
He didn't mean that.
I didn't mean you have wrinkles.
Great, I'm just gonna go through a little complex now.
Yeah, I don't know what would I have? I would have.
You'd want the beard.
No, I don't overnight. Want. No, I don't want them. No, I don't want that. No, no. I'm very happy. I think the because I've sorted out my teeth now, but I think they need to be a little whiter. So I would do that.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good one. But you don't want that unnatural kind of UV look to you. You know, some people when they smile, they blind the whole room
because
they've got that Hollywood kind of. It looks fake.
Mm. That's a terrible with a combination look. Of being really tanned, you look odd.
Yeah. And I'd like some color on the skin, but I suppose you can do that, you know, periodically, and you don't have to go for a surgery or anything. What would I have? Maybe, you know, I never want to get like those old men, you know, who have the hair coming out of their nose and their ears.
Oh.
You know, those guys? I mean, I'm nowhere near that, thank God, but if it ever happened to me, I'd be mortified. I'd just have to take a weed whacker or lawnmower and get in
weed
there.
Weed whacker for your
take
nostrils.
Take all that shit out. Oh my God, it's disgusting.
Mm.
Yes. God, it's gross being a man. It really is. Like, women are just so, I don't know, obviously they keep a lot of stuff that has to do with grooming away from us men.
Mm.
But as a man, it's just hair and, you know.
And also just your ears. Have you ever seen like a really old man's ears?
Oh.
They don't stop, they're like ginormous. It's like baby's feet in the side of your head. It's dreadful.
Yeah, it really is.
Have you seen when they get all long?
Oh.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really horrible.
Isn't it true that your ears never stop growing?
Yeah,
I think so. Something like that.
Well, evidently it does for some people when they droop. Oh.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Anyway, all right, so we got a lot to talk about. We'll get into this royal wedding stuff because people are interested in that. We've got to talk about Google Duplex. Have you heard this?
Yeah, this sounds, well, obviously people are trying to be offended by it. You know, it's like the computers are trying to take over. But as we keep saying, there are positives to this, and I think Google may be tapping into it.
I think so. Like what they've got basically is this voice system that will call and make your appointments for you.
Oh. Oh, like a digital PA.
Yeah, but it makes Siri sound like a block of wood.
Yeah. Okay. So let me play you. Here's a little clip that'll demonstrate Google Duplex. All right.
AI can help with this problem.
This is a person, by the way.
So let's go back to this example. Let's say you want to ask Google to make you a haircut appointment on Tuesday between 10 and noon.
By the way, I'm struggling to understand him, so God forbid if his machine has the same accent as he does. All right, here he is. Now we're going to make a haircut appointment.
What happens is the Google Assistant makes the call seamlessly in the background for you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
No.
That's amazing, because it doesn't sound like it's not a human.
Yeah.
In fact, people were criticizing it, saying, oh no, we want to know that we're talking to a machine.
Why?
I don't care. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you get those calls and then someone goes, have you heard the latest thing from blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And you put down your phone, because you know it's a machine. Yeah, or, I haven't got one of those. Thank God they don't have my number. But yes, would you need to have it declare up front that it's a machine? Would it bother you if you were duped by a machine?
No. Not the slightest. But I don't get easily offended, so.
Yeah, but also, I mean, who's to be offended? Listen, this is going to mean less jobs, but it's going to be more efficiency.
Less jobs for assistance. Yeah. Okay.
I think, you still need a human for a lot of stuff. This conversation has been curated. There's no way that this machine can figure out a response to everything that they have. And if you call some hairdressing salons, they've got noises in the background. This thing's going to get confused.
Well, can you imagine if it's like some millennial just answers the call and the computer can't work out what they're saying?
Dope.
Yeah, that's dope.
The machine is like, I do not compute.
But the whole thing is that they said when you give them tasks, a lot of look at the range of a conversation for a hair salon or booking something.
Sure.
They're not going to ask you very strange things. It's going to be very matter of fact. Mm. Therefore, they can execute these kind of things.
Well, listen to some more. Listen to the rest of it. See if you get
10 a.m. is fine. Okay,
cool. What's your first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
All those people, they would cheer and clap if the guy set fire to his hair on the stage, please.
Yeah, it's the same people who go to Apple launches and that kind of stuff. They cheer things like it's...
People in... You know those people who ride around in those motorized wheelchairs? Those are the kind of people we're talking about. There's nothing wrong with them, but they just roll around in those things because they hate exercise.
Oh, come on. They're excited. They just witnessed something new.
Are you excited?
I mean, it's great. I'll try it out.
Okay.
It's a new time. It's exciting.
Google Duplex.
Yeah, and I don't see what the problem is. If the intention was, here's a new automated system that's going to help cold calling people and selling them insurance, then I get why people would be annoyed, because A, it's just annoying to have someone call you like that all the time. But it's there to assist you, and it's there to call for your appointments and to follow up on things. Ugh, that's fine. It's just an extension of your calendar.
Look, there will be rules. There will be regulations around this. And I reckon if it's for personal use, it can't be that bad. But if insurance companies are automating bots to come talk to you.
Well, that's already happening.
I think that's
already happening, right? I get these.
But not like selling policies as in transactions being made.
No, they'll have to have a human to do that. But it is quite something. Oh, so listen, later on, while we're talking about tech and all the rest of it, Simon Dingle's going to pop by. He is the author of In Math We Trust, which is the future of money. It's a book he's just written. You know, Simon was one of the founders of Luno. among other things. So he's a very smart guy. He's been consulting to people about the blockchain, about cryptocurrencies for the longest time. I actually went to university with him. He's a very smart dude.
Oh.
So I've known him a long time. And Simon will be popping by to talk to us about all of this. It's called In Math We Trust, Bitcoin, Cryptocurrency, and the Journey to Being Your Own Bank. I do like that idea. And there are so many. Funny, I just saw a picture on social media this morning. I think Vinny Lingham put it up, of like a whole bunch of protesters outside a bank. And they're all like miserable about the fact that banks are going to become irrelevant and cryptocurrency is going to take over. It's called Bankers Against Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
An actual group of people standing outside a bank protesting crypto. Can you believe that? Very, very strange. All right, it's time to get into the five things you need to know today. That's with Mabali Moloi. Let's see what's going on in the world of news. And hopefully by the end of this, you'll be able to get stuck into conversations at work without being embarrassed that you're the only one who doesn't know what's going on. That would never happen if you listened to us. Not with Mubs around.
Okay, well, let me begin with one of the biggest international news stories that have now, in a roundabout way, affected South Africa. Our government has had to withdraw their ambassador to Israel following the killing of Palestinian protesters at the Gaza border. This is the latest act of violent aggression carried out by Israeli armed forces. Over 58 people have been killed.
Wow.
And this follows a peaceful protest against the inauguration of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. And now our government stepping in and saying, okay, bring our ambassador back home, because this whole situation has gotten completely out of control.
Well, there we go. The Middle East, such a peaceful, happy place.
And then the DA say that they're going to submit a complaint to the police watchdog IPID. This was over the handling of a common assault case which was lodged by a domestic worker against ANC MP Mduduzi Manana. A week ago, Christine Wairo laid charges against a politician, alleging that he had pushed her down stairs of his four-ways home.
Jesus.
And then an audio recording allegedly reveals Manana offering her 100,000 rand to drop the case. And then on Sunday, the DA laid extortion, bribery, and corruption charges against him at the Douglasdale police station.
He sounds like he's a real problem, this Manana. Does not have any respect for anyone, mostly women, but in this case, anyone. I mean, listen, you also have to know that you're a bad, dangerous person if you offer someone 100,000 rand in cash money to just go away.
It's so sad that someone like this has that much money just lying around.
Mm.
I mean, these guys get paid way too much money to be completely.
You shouldn't have 100,000 rand to give someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very dodgy situation. All right.
AJ Gupta is reportedly back in his home country of India. The last time he was seen was in Dubai when South African businessman Justin van Pletzen confronted AJ outside a business park. And now new reports surfacing saying that, oh no, actually he's back in India already. Still no word on where the rest of the family members are. Still no word on where Duduzani is. Do we know where Duduzani is? No. Look.
And no one's chasing him or like hunting him down. You got to ask yourself, like, if this was the Israelis or the French or the Germans or the British or the Americans, they would have like an agent tracking him, you know? There's a wanted person. And he just seems to be able to carry on with life as usual, but wherever he is, no one's looking for him. It's not like our national intelligence agency dragging their knuckles and breathing through their mouths. Intelligence. It's the opposite of intelligence. The NIA. They've got this huge farm out near Pretoria. They've got satellite dishes and supposedly gathering information about all of us.
Yeah, they're watching porn.
They can't find Dudu Zanizuma.
They're watching porn.
Shut them down. They're clearly useless if they can't even find him. I mean, it's not like the guy is hiding in terms of making him, because he's gone dark and he's on a burner phone.
And he's not like Jason Bourne. He's not military trained.
He's Dudu Zanizuma.
Yeah.
Guy can't help himself. He arrives everywhere in an SLS Merc. Find him And if you can't find him, NIA, let's shut you down. It's time for you to go. You don't fulfill any real purpose in South Africa. You need to go. All those employees must go find other work. Get out. All right, so we no luck on the AJ Gupta, no luck on the Dudu Zane Zuma.
The best version of hide and seek I've ever seen, no. If I have to be honest.
Well, you know what this does? This makes me think the rest of us, don't worry about paying your taxes and don't worry about stealing from everybody because no one here in this country seems to care about catching you. They've got better things to do. Do whatever you want.
And then lastly, it was a case of he said yesterday as Talk Radio 702 host Eusebius McKaiser hosted Kali Creel, who is the CEO of AfriForum. The point of their conversation was to discuss the farm murders. And then somewhere during the interview, Eusebius asked him what he thought about apartheid. After which, McKaiser took to Twitter saying, Kali Creel just told me, quote, I don't think apartheid was a crime against humanity. Dun, dun, dun. And then Creel very quickly called to News 24 to explain the context of what he had said during the interview. Quote, we do not beat around the bush about that. What I said to Eusebius is that a crime against humanity is the gassing of 6 million Jews in gas chambers. In my view, you cannot equate that to the 700 people that were killed by the security police during apartheid. And without providing proof, Creel was adamant that only 700 people were killed. And then a race war ensued.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want
that's what South Africans do best.
I can imagine. With a race baiter like Eusebius at the charge.
I can't imagine anything worse than being stuck in a conversation between Kali Creel and Eusebius McKaiser. I think that's my own personal hell. I don't give a fuck about either of those guys. I really, like, can you imagine?
Didn't he just come back from the U.S., Kali Creel?
Yeah. He went there to go talk to Fox News and...
Look. I don't want to... I do not want to be in a conversation with those two, and I don't want to listen to it. And you've got to ask yourself, if you're a sensible South African, do you really want to be a witness to that kind of discussion between those two men? Really? So we'd sit with each of them on their own, and they'll probably sound quite sensible. Put them in a room together, it's just nitroglycerine. You don't need that. Nobody needs that. And the two of them just going to stoke up the opposite side by virtue of their presence. I don't need it. Sorry. Not that interested in your race problems, either of you, that I need to get involved. I do not care. Look, watch, look here. I don't care.
Okay.
What else is going on? Let's get to Ben.
Yeah.
Is that all you got for us, Mavs?
Sure, we'll have more news after 7.
Well, here are a couple of comments before we get to Ben. Google Duplex, someone says. Michael from New Zealand, he says, the best will be when a machine can answer my calls and only let the important stuff through. Oh, yes, that'll be good. Gareth, on a completely different note, did you watch the show on DSTV 103, The Defiant Ones? Fantastic walkthrough music with Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre and their rise to fame, Michelle. No, but I've got to watch that. I've heard such good things about it. Talk about bearded women. I saw the poster girl for that movement in Middelburg last week. A woman with huge amounts of stubble. That's Greg.
Oh.
I should have hit the road 10 minutes ago, but instead I'm having coffee and rusks at home and listening to you guys. Well, at least I can.
Oh, rusks.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? At least I can take you with me in this goddamned Cape Town traffic. That's Riet from a dry-as-a-bone city of Cape Town. Talk about nice colored skin, Gareth. I'm really holding all my bits that my son marries a black woman one day, then I can have beautiful caramello grandkids.
Oh, like I tell Dr. you, Cindy. The best-looking humans on Earth are those with a gene pool that is just mixed.
Right.
You said it once, and you will stand by.
I should have a child just for the sake of saying that I have a good-looking child.
Right.
Why not? Many people do.
Absolutely. But for no other reason than that. I mean, I'm not going to raise him or anything.
For sure. All right. Of course not. You and I have about as much paternal, maternal instinct as an orange.
Orange?
Apparently, South Africa will get their first ATM, which dispenses Bitcoin soon. Oh, that's interesting. And Eusebius McKaiser is the scum of the earth, says someone else. Oh. It's always good to get people's opinion first thing in the morning.
Ouch, and he heard that too because someone no doubt told him he's on the show today.
Oh, he listens. $8,809.03 for a Bitcoin. 03. Get that?
Mm. Yeah.
It's very important.
Has dropped a bit in the last few days.
Yeah, but it seems to be climbing again. And then Ethereum is at $740.78. Not too terrible. Way better than it was for the month of March. All right. That's what you need to know in the world of cryptocurrency. It's time for Ben to take us on an adventure into the world of sport. Ben, take us on this adventure, will you?
How much time we got? Because there are so many sporting stories today. This is like the biggest Tuesday of sporting stories.
Usually you struggle on a Tuesday to find stuff that's interesting.
Well, a lot of that's got to do with the fact that Barcelona are going to be in South Africa tomorrow. But it looks like they're literally coming for a day.
But is this like Team A Barcelona? This isn't like the reserves or
this is the weirdest thing. It's all got to do with Madiba Centenary, okay? So that's the big carrot here. But then you look past that, and this thing sounds like one hell of a dog show. Firstly, Barcelona had a chance to be unbeaten for the first time ever, which I've been saying for a couple of days now. They rest Messi ahead of Levante. Levante beat them. But now they're coming out here, full-strength team, to play a match in one day. They then go back, and they've still got a match this coming weekend against Real Sociedad.
Hmm.
So how are they shoehorning this in? Plus it's a World Cup year. How they've managed to arrange this, and obviously, the whole lure of the Madiba goodwill, that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what it is. Ivan Koza has threatened them with being buried in his back garden.
Probably has. So between that, something's happened here. But also, there's the big question of these matches aren't allowed to be played during the actual season. It's the Nedbank Cup final this weekend, but Sundowns aren't in it. So, it's bollocks. Let's just play Barcelona. Now, for the fans, this is the greatest thing ever because they can go to the F&B Stadium tomorrow. The match, I think, is around 6 o'clock. And you will see one of the greatest sporting outfits in the world right now. I'm not just saying football, but sporting outfits. Sure. It just seems very strange. These things just thrown together haphazardly. And I think all this comes down to is that a couple of people who can make decisions have made decisions. And rules and all that kind of stuff. Chuck.
Well, someone invited me last Friday to go and watch. Of course I'm not going to go, but...
Of course you're not going to go, yeah.
There are lots of people who would.
Of course.
It would be worth going to go if you're a massive soccer fan.
But can you imagine, with an earlier kickoff, the traffic around the General Soweto area, because we remember World Cup fever. I mean, it's fine, we were getting day drunk, and basically just the whole 2010 thing was cool. But logistically, this is an absolute nightmare. But if you can watch on your screens, and get this, even SABC are going to actually broadcast the match.
Yeah. Okay. How did they get that?
And it's going to be live, not delayed live, or whatever they try to pass it off normally. Yep, they will be broadcasting the Centenary match, Sundowns versus Barcelona, tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Wednesday, the 16th of May. Yeah, got that one. Got it in one. Right, there's a whole bunch of other stories. Firstly, to stick with football, Donald Trump has been honored by an Israeli football club. Now, Mubs spoke about the whole Israeli story at the moment. This is a different kind of spin on it. Beitar Jerusalem are now going to be called Beitar Trump Jerusalem because obviously Trump's a big hero for taking, like, recognizing Jerusalem as a capital, all that kind of stuff. But this club, as it would have it, has been known for its racist reputation. Oh, I know God. A lot of the sensationalist news, but out of all the clubs to kind of put their name to Trump, this one maybe not the best for Trump's PR. Anyway, they love him. So Beitar Trump Jerusalem is now going to be a prominent team in the Israeli league.
Is he excited about that?
He probably doesn't even know who they are.
I'm sure.
Not doesn't know what important. They play.
Not overly important. The Kiwis, we know they've been harvesting Pacific Island talent for their rugby for quite some time now. Well, the burden of sort of guilt has really come back to haunt them because now they're saying, well, maybe they should have a team in Super Rugby. Now, this has been muttered around for a few years now, but it looks like they're actually taking steps towards doing it. A guy called Jeremy Carrar.
Oh, yeah?
If you're going to do something heroic in life, be called Jeremy Carrar. Yeah. He has taken $80,000 New Zealand from the taxpayers to go and do a feasibility study if there should be a Super Rugby team between Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga. Now, I mean, it doesn't take $80,000 New Zealand to work this out. Yes. You can't just keep taking all this talent and they get no money back. I mean, you get a couple of these guys, they'll make a bit of money. They go back, they put huge sound systems in their car, basically. You're not really uplifting the area. So what they're going to do is hopefully have a team be based in Fiji, but they'll also be playing matches in Samoa, Tonga, Auckland and Sydney. This is another quandary for Super Rugby, though, because as noble as this sounds, and I'm all for it, the Pacific Islanders region should be honoured a hell of a lot more for what they've given to World Rugby. But then you're adding a team to Super Rugby. Ah, I know what you're saying, but they've just been trying to take away teams, and you'd be right. This whole thing is going to be another shit show because Super Rugby, they're so scared that someone's going to take the big cash cow of America that they want to get a team in there as well. So now you've got an American team, Pacific Islanders team, where teams might have to go and play a match in Fiji. That's hardly a hop, skip, and a jump away from anybody. And now you're throwing people around again, and then there's the rumors that we spoke about last week of SA teams going to Europe. Yeah. We all know what's going to hit the fan with this thing, but it'd be nice to see the Pacific Islanders getting something for all the hard years of competing and contributing to World Rugby. The Irish, they were getting a dicking by the Pakistanis in their first test. A test match that's been played in Ireland for the first time, but they've really bounced back on the follow-on. Kevin O'Brien, not the only ginger that's going to be in the spotlight this week. 118, he got Ireland's first test match 100 in Ireland.
Hmm.
Very exciting for that. So they're currently 319 for 7. They have a lead of 139 runs with 3 wickets remaining. Today is the final day. Weather permitting, we'll obviously get a result with that. Can Pakistan collapse? Or will Ireland just be really, really good? I don't think, because I think they might get a lead of, say, 150, 160, and that's just not enough for any sort of decent club side, let alone international team. So Pakistan will probably win this one, but good on Ireland. They really come back, and they're showing that they're very keen, very excited for this whole test cricket thing. And, you know, some people are for it, some people are against it. I've got to apply maybe a little bit more thought to it. Cameron Bancroft, the guy who used sandpaper from his jocks and then denied he did use sandpaper from his jocks. Anyway, he is now being cleared to play club cricket in Australia. So this is what happens. Cricket Australia can enforce a ban, but then the clubs can say, well, you know, let's have a little vote in our region, and if everyone thinks he's a good enough bloke, then he can play. So yeah, he's going to play club cricket.
What's your feeling, Ben?
Again, I don't care that much.
Banned for life?
No, not banned for life. I just think that these Aussies have made a huge, huge error, but in the greater scheme of things, the game is going to move on. It's going to be fine. Banning for life, nah. I think the bans are fair, but playing club cricket also doesn't really count for much. If he was allowed to go play English club cricket, yeah, big problem, because that's still of an international level. But if he's playing with a bunch of guys who are watched by their girlfriends and a couple of dogs, that's going to make a huge difference to the greater scheme of things. Baseball. We don't often talk about baseball on the show, but here we are. Now, the Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher, Jamison Tailon.
Who?
Jamison Tailon.
Who?
Some really great names in the sport today. Well, he's had a bit of a dodgy middle finger, so much so that it has taken him away from the mound. He's got a wound that's just not healing. So, he's been trying to get back into it. He's an MLB player, so there's big money, there's big situation here for this guy's career. And the 26-year-old is like, well, screw it, I can't pitch anymore. So his friends are saying, well, just piss on your hand, dude. Get over it. So now the whole thing is that the pitcher's going, I will try anything. Even if the entire team was to line up and piss on my hand, I'll do it. Because urine's obviously got great healing qualities. It's disinfectant.
Does it?
Of course it does.
Oi, all right.
Well, have you ever been stung by a jellyfish? The best thing to do is get someone to pee on you.
Urine.
Or put some vinegar.
All right, Sia. Again, why must you just change the story every time?
I'm just saying.
We'll be adult about this.
Take a piss on someone's hand. So go for it.
Jamison Tailon is going to take a big piss in his hand today. Jamison and hopefully Tailon. That gets his career back onto the mound.
Great.
Speaking of dodgy things you got to do, well, the Mexicans have announced their World Cup squad, and Rafael Marquez is in it. It'll be his fifth World Cup, but that story has been overshadowed by the fact that he's actually a bit of a bad hombre. Well, allegedly.
Oh, yes?
He took 3 months off last year because the U.S. Treasury Department accused him of being a front man in a drug trafficking group based in the Mexico city of Guadalajara.
Guadalajara.
And Rafael Marquez, he's 39. Two of his brothers who are younger and aren't front men for drug organizations, they're also in the squad. But how funny is this? So he's been named the squad. Apparently he's just invaluable to the squad, but he's got bad hombre written all over him by Trump. Course.
Bad hombre.
Bad hombre.
All right, very good.
Number 4, bad hombre Marquez.
Right.
In the midfield. Yeah, so that's pretty much all the big news right now. Just another rugby story which I find fascinating is that the Force. We all know who the Force are, right?
Yes, it's the Force.
They're an Australian football, it's a rugby team, the Western Force.
Here I was thinking it was the thing from Star Wars.
Well, they got snubbed by the whole Super Rugby sort of cutdown story. So they were, even though they had a great season last year, they were like, no, you can't, guys, can't be in the team. Anyway, they've got a guy in their ranks who's lots of money. Billionaire, millionaire, just very, very rich. So he thought, okay, screw you guys, we're going to make our own league. So he is actually a billionaire, a verified billionaire, Andrew Forrest. He said, okay, fuck, screw you guys, this is not right. They took it to court, it was a protracted legal battle, it was dreadful.
Yes.
And now what he's doing is he's created the World Series of Rugby.
World Series.
Series rugby, he really has.
So it's like a competitive series with...
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow they got this right. So what they're doing is that they're playing like a Tongan representative side. They'll be playing against the Rebels during international break. But what's really funny, and I'm sure Andrew's having a good laugh about this, is that when Super Rugby matches between Aussie teams run out, okay, so the Rebels took on the Brumbies, there were less than 5,500 people watching the match. World Series match between the Force and whoever they're trying to string together, as much as 20,000 people watched the match. So he's basically putting both middle fingers in the air to Australian rugby and to Sanzar in general and saying, well, we've got our own thing and it's even better than yours. Super Rugby's got massive problems.
Big.
Massive, massive, massive problems.
Huge.
Huge. Huge. And that's pretty much it for your sports. If you go into my YouTube channel right now at Follow the Bounce, I made a video about some New Zealand thuggery, which I'm sure you'll enjoy, because those guys are the worst and dirtiest players in all of world rugby, although they always hide behind this myth that they play attractive rugby. We've got all this heritage and a haka. Bollocks. They're all thugs, and this latest video proves it.
All right. Listen to Ben. Full of fire and brimstone today. Let's turn our attention now away from Ben and towards Sia Sangweni, who's got some stuff for inspiration this morning. What do you got?
Well, South Africa, when we're good, we are great. And we so often talk about how dismal, and that's even being kind, of SAA and what they're currently going through. But an SAA flight attendant is actually getting some good coverage around her because of what she did. And I think it's nice and cool that we raise this up just a little after Mother's Day. So the loving kindness of a flight attendant is being highlighted for what she did, going above and beyond her job description and bringing customer delight. She's a South African Airways flight attendant named Mavis Otonga, who was kind enough to take care of a baby for a struggling mother during her 15-hour flight journey. Shucks. The mother's name is Kate Welly Hands. She's from South Africa, and she was traveling from New York to Johannesburg with her daughter, and it was never an easy task for a parent to travel alone on such a long journey.
You shouldn't.
You know, which
Full
includes
stop. Sorry.
Two transits. My goodness.
Shouldn't travel with a child.
Yeah. So that's when Mavis stepped in, because she was seeing this mother struggle, and especially because the child was being restless and the mother was just trying to eat. So that's when the caring flight attendant extended her helping hand to carry her baby so that she could have her meals in ease. Check this out. Mavis took her child and took the Kate's daughter and put her on her back and just carried on serving other customers and going about doing her job.
I like that.
Isn't
That's
that
nice.
Something? Yeah, so yeah, now there are photos galore. This happened back in April, but there are photos galore of other passengers who couldn't believe this. They were taking pictures of this air hostess who was carrying on serving other people and walking up and down the aisle with this child back on her back. And so Kate put this on Facebook, and that's where the post went viral. She says on her Facebook post, a 15-hour flight is never an easy task for a parent traveling on their own, and I had a massively proud moment to be South African yesterday when Mavis took my daughter and belated her and then carried on serving people so that I was able to eat my meal. She returned my daughter to my seat with a fast asleep Emmy, that's her daughter's name, in her arms. So thank you, Mavis, for being such a rock star. I appreciate you.
Babs and I have a problem.
Your baby, your problem. Yeah. Sorry.
Exactly.
Mavis is a better human being than I'll ever be.
And that's why we highlight her this morning. Jeez.
Yeah, God bless her, but
I wouldn't be able to.
Don't take your child on a plane.
15 hours alone.
Your baby, your problem.
Look, it's all good and well that we're saluting Mavis this morning, but I hope Mavis got something out of this as well. But hey, yeah, that's your Said by Sia for this morning.
All right, Said by Sia for this morning. It is the 15th of May already. It's gotta be May.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Very good. So, we have loads of things coming up. Simon Dingle will be on the line with us in a little while. He's the author of a brand new book called The In Math We Trust. He was, of course, on the teams that started the apps 22/7, Curve, and Luno. And he's written this book to help people understand the blockchain, to understand cryptocurrencies, and to understand how you could become your own bank. Doesn't that sound like a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, I've heard some.
Take notes.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about people who, the banks have messed them around. Especially, this is in this case, it's an international bank, but almost where they would have been better off just keeping the money under their mattress. Seriously, that's how bad. So that happens, and from time to time, people go, do I really need a bank? Well, these days you can be your own bank, and Simon will tell us how. That's a little later. We'll get into some news. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. It is the weekend. Not as in Friday and Saturday and Sunday. As in the band. As in the man.
This is CliffCentral.com.